voting day, Kentucky District 4. Today is the day that we get out to the polls and we deliver for the state of Kentucky and the United States as a whole. For those of you that live in Kentucky District 4, I have a contest for you. If you are headed into the polls and on your way out, make a video. Hashtag it with I voted KY4. Don't care how you voted. I voted KY4. We're going to have a bunch of giveaways with swag from all of the creators. We're going to have autograph swag from Thomas Massey. We're also going to have some VIP passes for the Victory Night Party tomorrow and a whole bunch of other stuff. Plus, we're going to stitch all of your videos. So make a video after you voted telling everybody else to get out and vote, saying you voted. You don't have to say how you voted. And hashtag I voted KY4. And we are going to see you and have so much fun tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we're going to be out at the polls. For those of you that don't live in Kentucky, that want to make a difference, and you wish you could vote in Kentucky, you guys are going to download the Sway app. That's S-W-A-Y. In it, you're going to sync up your contacts from your phone, and it's going to find any person in your phone that is eligible to vote in Kentucky District 4. And if you don't have any friends in Kentucky District 4, but you have other friends in Kentucky that might be close by, it's going to help you find friends in Kentucky that might know people in District 4. Now, for those of you voting, take your grandma, take your auntie, take your cousins, take your roommates, take your coworkers, take as many people as you can. All of you guys make videos. Let's get more people to the polls. Let's bring our friends. Let's make it a party. And then tomorrow night, we're going to party for real at the Marriott near CVG. I'm going to be there. All of the creators are going to be there. We cannot wait to see you. Happy voting day. Hashtag I voted KY.
Okay, so that is Tiffany Cianci. You can follow her on X at The Vino Mom. And she, of course, is there in Kentucky and has been all week, really. She was here on with us on Thursday and then again on Friday getting that exclusive content in the interview with Thomas Massey from his big campaign event. She's there in Kentucky right now and she joins us via Zoom. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Good afternoon, Harrison. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm sort of on pins and needles, though. I mean, how are things going there in Kentucky? It's voting day today. What do people need to know?
We are pins and needles with you. Obviously, we won't know for a few hours, right? We do know that the early voting numbers were very, very positive. So they look at the last three election cycles and they do the aggregate of the turnout for early voting. And that's how we can kind of gauge a sense of how many people are early voting. And generally, younger voters early vote, older voters vote on the day of because they don't trust early voting.
Right.
That's just very traditionally tactical. And what we've seen is that every single county in District 4 saw at least a 19% increase over expected aggregate. We saw in some of the most important counties of young voters up to 55% increases in early voting over expected aggregate.
Whoa.
So that paints a picture that looks like it could be very positive. It really does. We didn't want to get our hopes up. We obviously have been trying very hard to keep our eyes on getting people to the polls. And today we were out there and we were doing on the ground polling. We sent some of our favorite creators out to the polls and we got some polling numbers. Out of one poll in Boone County, we had 65 votes for Massey, 46 for Gelrain, and then we had about 40 that would not disclose. A lot of people are trying to give more credibility to the non-disclosures being for Gelrain, but I'm not sure that's it. If I were in true red MAGA, must do what Trump says country, I would be more afraid to say I'm voting for Massey.
Right.
And so I don't think that that's necessarily true, but I will say there's been record turnouts and there've been a ton of people at the polls and we're just waiting. We're just waiting.
I got to wonder, do you talk to people who vote Ed Gelrain and why are they saying they're voting for him? I'm still confused that why anybody would vote for him. I'm sort of shocked that he has whatever support he has now. What reason are they giving?
One of our favorite videos that got made today was they said Massey's just too old. And we said, you know, Ed Gelrain's 68 and Massey's 55, right? And they said, well, are you sure? And they had just voted. I swear to you, that was a real conversation on the ground we watched.
Interesting. And I wonder, you know,
because you told me to, Sergeant. Like, I don't know. Right answer.
Well, and I wonder if the AI, you know, ads they're running have had an impact. Like, that's what I'm wondering if, you know, if people are going, well, I saw a video of him holding hands with AOC and I'm not, you know, down with her. Have you heard anything?
What it was presenting looked like a lot more than holding hands as they walked into a hotel.
Right. And I wonder how much, that swayed people or if people have legitimate reasons. I mean, I could understand if they're like, hey, look, I just think, you know, I'm against the libertarian thing. I think America should be an empire. Like, I don't know. There are reasons, I guess, that you'd want to support Ed Galbraith. None of them good. But I wonder just what those are and why people would support Ed Galbraith when Thomas Massey has served the district so well for so long. So is the mood buoyant? Is it hopeful? You know, are y'all preparing the victory party or sort of holding off?
We are heading to the watch party. That's always the non-promissory way you say it during election season, right? We're heading to the watch party. We're wearing dresses and we're excited. We hope so. There's been an immense amount of interest. What I can say that I know, this is what I know. We came to the district, me and the creators that came with me, and we have generated 1.4 billion engagements on just X alone. 1.4 billion in 6 days. Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at all of the platforms we can track, we're at almost 2 billion. We can't track Snapchat. We can't track everything as it moves across Instagram. It's a little bit harder, but that's what we know. All right. What we have done here is we have successfully managed to hold the line and keep it within 1 point on an election that nobody should have survived. It shouldn't even have been close. The fact that anyone is even questioning if Massey's going to win is a testament to how successful he has been as a legislator and how much hope the American people have in him. He should never have survived to this point. Do you know what the traditional cost of this race is?
Oh, a couple hundred thousand, I would think.
Less than $200,000.
Oh.
We're at $35
million. Yeah.
$35 million in a $200,000 race. With a candidate that's never had to mount an apparatus, never had to have a ground game because his constituents love him and are so happy with him. He won 78% of the vote last time. He's never had to build this apparatus. And he had to do it against insurmountable odds this time. That is a testament to how much people love Thomas Massey, respect Thomas Massey. And one of the most common comments we've had is we've seen tons of volunteers coming in from all across the political spectrum. My favorite comment I've seen over and over again is, I disagree with Massey 91% of the time, but I would still vote for him to be my president.
Because he's got the character, right? I mean, people recognize that and it shines through that, hey, you might disagree with what he's doing, but you can tell he's doing it for a good reason because he, you know, has morals that he sticks to. And like, maybe that's all you need, you know, at this point to be so much better than everybody else in Washington who seems just amoral, you know, as if it's like a trend.
The bar is in hell, Harrison. It's literally in hell.
I know. And the fact that, you know, Thomas Massey's having to fight so hard to do this, like I'm of two minds. Obviously, I'm so like happy with the overwhelming support. I'm so impressed with what you guys have done, the billions of views. It's like this really shows that, hey, we might not have tens of millions of dollars to spare, but we can match that with energy, match that with just our you know, effort, you know, human effort putting into it, which I love. And I you know, that's obviously a very big white pill. But then I'm like, all right. What if he wasn't Thomas Massey? What if it was some smaller congressman? How are they going to get all these people out to support them? How are they going to fight back against the moneyed interest? Or what happens next time? Are we going to do this every 2 years? I mean, this is an extraordinary event, so extraordinary effort is being put into it. But for AIPAC and these things, for them, it's a matter of writing a check. They can put $10 million here, $10 million there, and it's no problem. We have to actually go and invest in this and book hotel rooms and get involved. It's kind of unsustainable. So how do we take the lesson that we're learning here and sort of future-proof farther races? Do you know what I mean?
So they threw $35 million at this race. That is true. They can't afford to throw $35 million at 100 races.
True.
They can't. With 435 people running just, you know, in the House, they can't afford that. They simply can't. What we have to do is make it so toxic to take their money that politicians willingly give it up.
Yes.
And I think we're starting to do that right now. I think that's exactly where we're headed right now, is that we have to make it so toxic to take the money because, and you know, the boomers are tolerating it. They're almost gone. Frankly, I'm just going to say it. They are the last generation that is ever going to allow to happen what has been allowed to happen in this country, with the amount of capture and the amount of power aggregation, the amount of consolidation, right? We are coming into the Gen Xers that will absolutely not.
Yeah.
And the millennials, they are so far gone and so far removed from anyone that's going to come back in a way for Israel based on the way that they have treated the American public. What's been so shocking about this particular election is that normally they hide their money in secret, right? Like, we see them hide their money behind, like, closed doors. We see them trading it in back rooms. That is not what's happened here. They came out and boldly said, we are buying this election. And we're not buying it for America. We're not buying it for Kentucky. We are buying this election for Israel. That is what they have said very boldly. No qualms about it.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, it has nothing to do with Thomas Massie whatsoever. It might be that he's like the thing that they need to use as the example, but this is a warning shot to anyone else that tries to continue to pursue Epstein. This is a warning shot to anyone else that tries to stand up to them.
Yeah.
This is not about Thomas Massie. This is about the remainder of the politicians that might be thinking that they want to disagree with the agenda that's presented to them. And that is why they're being so bold about it. That is why they're being so aggressive about it. And frankly, I find it hard to stomach. But again, this is the last generation they're going to get away with it with. They know it. Their time is waning and they're grabbing for every bit of power they can while they still have it.
I agree. It's just it's interesting that they're only doing this to the Republican Party. I mean, it seems clear that they are putting all of their chips in the Republican Party and just trying to turn that into the Israeli party. I mean, we've talked about this before with all of these leftist, liberal, Democrat. I mean, they still believe all the things they used to believe, but it's just because they support Israel, now they're becoming Republicans. Alan Dershowitz wrote an essay about this in the Politico article talking about the pro-Israel groups playing a huge part in Thomas Massie's race. They say, unlike in recent Democratic primaries where United Democracy Project has used shell PACs to shield its involvement, the powerful pro-Israel group's political arm is investing directly in taking Massie out. So again, it seems interesting to me that when they're trying to support Democrat politicians, they hide their stuff in shell PACs, but then they come out against Massie and they put their name on it. That I think is it tells you something about the strategy being pursued by the Israeli lobby.
I mean, it requires us to make a big assumption that they want the Republicans to survive as a strong party. This is not, I mean, if we look at where money's been spent and what Charlie Kirk said, very, very, like, very straightforward, is that when you see these particular lobbies, they've been at the forefront of Democratic policymaking for decades. And so this happens to be convenient, right? It happens to be who's in charge right now that they're manipulating. But I wouldn't say that they have any vested interest in any Republican policies actually like surviving this. Any America First policies? Absolutely not. Because America First is not their country first. So no, yeah. I can't picture that.
Well, and it's interesting because yesterday on the show, we were looking up, you know, because Trump said something about Thomas Massie being the worst congressman in all of history. And so we were looking up his liberty score. Of course, he gets a 96%, which is almost as high as you can possibly get. There's about maybe five people ahead of him with perfect 100% scores. And they happen to be amongst those Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been kicked out of the party by Trump. And now Lauren Boebert is being targeted by Trump because she supports Thomas Massie. So is it a coincidence that like literally the most liberty minded, the people who vote along the lines of liberty most in the Republican Party also happen to be the ones targeted by Trump in the Israeli lobby for ousting? I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
I mean, it's only a coincidence if you can allow yourself the fantasy that America First is anything that the lobby would want.
Yeah.
But America First is not in alignment with the plan that they have for us. Yep. And so, no, I don't think it's a coincidence. No, I don't think it's surprising. And I'm grateful we have politicians that are putting America First. Massie would not say he's America First. And I've spoken to him about it a dozen times in the past 2 weeks. And he says, I'm American first. I'm not going to vote for my country before the people of my country. And the people of my country can't bear much more. They can't handle much more. We really can't push much further before there's nothing left for them.
Yeah, I obviously completely agree. We showed a tweet earlier I hadn't actually seen before, reports of fraud. You say 50 reports of fraud, and I think you were in that video. Can you elucidate that a little bit for us? What are these fraud reports?
Yeah, the voter fraud hotline had received 54 reports of voter fraud or voter mishandling by noon today.
Wow.
Across 27 counties. We don't know the concentration of the counties yet, but they did say it was a marked increase from prior years. So we were going over that on the Shannon Joy podcast today.
Yeah. So, you know, this is concerning to me because, again, if you've got sort of borderline legal tactics being taken here with Pete Hegseth, the acting, you know, current Secretary of Defense going down and campaigning, that's a little bit fuzzy in the in the legal campaign laws rules. You've got the AI videos that they're making that are clearly made to look real, to trick people. And so you take sort of everything we know about Thomas Massie's opposition and you go, do you really think voter fraud is, you know, a bridge too far for them? They're willing to lie. They're willing to, you know, bend the rules as it befits them. But God, but they would never cheat in an election. They're too honorable for that. I mean, I'm genuinely concerned that no matter what the real results is, you know, these people are clearly willing to play fast and loose with the rules to get victory. What are we doing to not, you know, to prevent that from happening?
I will say that Thomas Massie has allayed a lot of our fears on this particular issue. He feels very strongly that the voting is safe here in Kentucky. And he says that that's because of just one thing. And that is that in Kentucky, which is not the same in every state, every single county, not district, but county, which there's 120 of them, right? Every single county gets to choose their own voter software, machines, and count method. And so it would be so hard to manipulate across counties when they all have to certify their votes at the end into the Secretary of State and then reaffirm them after they post them. He says it would be very, very difficult to manipulate. I'm hopeful that that is true, obviously. I will also say that there have been so many Hail Marys in the last 3 days. I mean, the Hail Mary after Hail Mary, it's just been ridiculous, right? They sent out Pete Hegseth to violate the Hatch Act blatantly, openly, obviously, no qualms about it, right? Well, why not? The DOJ is not going to prosecute him for it. The Inspector General is not going to do anything, right? But that is what happened. And when he arrived here, you would think there would have been a lot of fanfare. Huge turnout for the Department of War if Kentucky's super pro this war in Iran, right? Well, no. They gave him the smallest ballroom in the smallest hotel. It had a grand total of 84 seats. And when he finally took the podium, 13 were still empty. Wow. Not a great turnout.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. No, it's pathetic, which again is shocking to me that Ed Gowran is apparently keeping up in the polls. It's like, who supports this guy? Nobody comes to his events. You know, nobody's knocking on doors with him, but he's equal in support. Like there is a major disconnect happening here. And I actually want to go to a video and get your response to it, because this was Ed Gowran on Fox News, clip 32. He hasn't done a lot of interviews recently or debates, hasn't done any debates. He's basically a non-existent person. I mean, they might as well be running an AI, you know, animation at this point.
Trump said he only needed a warm body and they would vote how he told them to. Those were his words.
Pretty much. And he said that exactly. And now I'm saying, like, do they even need the warm body? Why not just give us a cardboard cutout of a person if this is, you know, the level of disrespect you're going to, you know, put to the voters? But let's watch this response on Fox and get your response on the other side of it. Let's watch.
On the national polls, he probably is more, reflective of public sentiment on the war in Iran than you are. Would you concede that?
Well, I want to go back to the predicate you just said about him being a physical criminal. He is not. Right as this election's coming up, he's spending taxpayer money. I think it's called franking. And I'm just a farm boy from Kentucky and a career military officer. He was sending out those repeated letters about all the things he was doing, dancing on the head of a pin. And oh, by the way, Laura, I'll just share with the listeners here. Dairy farmers are legendary with being frugal. I'll watch out for these people's penny and nickels. And oh, by the way, I have a master's of science in financial management with honors. I can count a nickel. So back to where he stands, he has betrayed the people here. On the war in Iran, it is as simple as this. It is pre-World War II, 1939. Had we had a decisive president at that juncture, just think of all the memorials across this nation that wouldn't have names on them. They said exactly what we're going to do. Laura, I want to finish with this. I have challenged mainstream media. The Pulitzer Prize is waiting for you to see where his money's coming from, to include the people that celebrate the killing of my friends and teammates. I'll leave that on the table.
Again, just completely insane. Incoherent, really. I mean, he says Thomas Massie is not a fiscal conservative. The man who built by hand a debt tracker that he wears every second he's on Capitol Hill. He's not a fiscal conservative. And how much do you love the, I'm just a country boy from Kentucky with a master's degree in mathematics and a high level class
that,
secret
Harrison,
classified top secret clearance. It's like, what?
There is something no one is talking about. Okay. Everyone knows he left the Republican Party in 2016 when Trump was elected. Okay. We all know that. We also know that he went and got a job and conspicuously, as soon as he came back to this race, his LinkedIn profile was updated because do you know what he was doing?
What?
For that 5 years he left the Republican Party?
What?
He was a DEI coach to corporations to help them understand how to implement gender neutral language, using their pronouns, how to better have a gender fluid conversation style, how to make sure that they change their boards of directors. That's where he's been for the last 5 years. So tell me about your dairy farmer boy from Kentucky. I got nothing for it.
You know, I'm just a good old boy.
He knows where the money is. When the money's good in DEI, he's there. When they're ready to bring him back here, suddenly he's a Republican again and not an independent. I don't want to hear it. Thomas Massie has been the same man for 16 years, standing up for the principles he's promised for, and that's why we're here.
Listen, I'm just a good old boy from Kentucky that's here to shove DEI down your throat as I work towards the transnational globalist anti-human agenda. I mean, it's like a cartoon. It's like hilarious. He literally says, I'm just a boy from Kentucky with a master's degree in mathematics and high level, you know, top secret clearance. So I don't know, but I know how to count a nickel. I mean, it's like, it should be insulting. How are people not insulted by this minstrel show they're putting on with Ed Gowrain? It's like the most offensive thing ever. It's like trying to appeal to a black constituency by painting your face black and putting big red lips and going, I don't know nothing, boy. I just want to go up to Washington, D.C. I mean, it's like they're treating you like rubes. Why are you supporting them? It's crazy that this guy has any support whatsoever.
I will tell you, yesterday we went on a very long drive. Thomas Massie's district is huge. By the standards of districting in the United States, it stretches all the way across Kentucky, hooks around both sides of Louisville, and it goes all the way across the mountains, okay? And we did a 2.5-hour drive up to Vanceburg. And Vanceburg has no cell service. The Starlinks didn't work there. We botched at least 4 or 5 interviews trying to get them done from up there. But when I say that they went to this place, we pulled in, not knowing what to expect. And it was the most picturesque scene I've ever seen. It looked like we were in the Swiss Alps. We were at the top of the mountains, gorgeous blue lake, 2 feet from us. And they had hundreds of people lined up all the way as far as the eye could see to take photos with Thomas Massie. Wow. In the middle of nowhere yesterday.
Sounds like heaven.
So I've got to hope that they turned out at the polls today in the same way.
Well, so what's next? Obviously, we're going to be checking in with Kriston T. Harris. He's another creator there in Kentucky helping to monitor things. We got a minute left. What is your pitch to the people of Kentucky or the people of America? How do we get involved? How do we monitor this situation? And what do we need to know?
Kentucky, if you are watching right now, it is not too late for you to get up and go to the polls. The polls are open until 6 p.m. You have to go to your assigned voting location. If you don't know where that is, you go to thomasmassie.com/vote. You can get there as late as like literally 5:59. The law in Kentucky states you must be lined up before 6 p.m. and then the polls have to stay open until the lines are finished. So if you have a line down the block around the corner 2 miles long, the polls have to stay open until every one of you votes, but you must be in that line before 6 p.m. So please get out there, bring your friends, your roommates, your aunts, your uncles, your grandma that forgot it was today. Get everybody out there and don't let these people trick your state. Don't let them give you a warm body. Don't let them give somebody that's been out lying about his military service, lying about his relationships, and lying about where he's been as he was not a Republican for the last 5 years, coming back now to put on this show for you. Get out there and represent your state. Represent what the people that have been serving your state, what they mean to you and what you mean to them. Please go to the polls.
Absolutely. Powerful stuff. Thank you so much, Tiffany. We'll be monitoring your social media and bringing people updates as they arrive. Thank you so much. Follow Tiffany on X at The Vino Mom. That's TheVinoMom on X. And doing incredible stuff. And we await with bated breath the results of this very important contest. Thank you, Tiffany.
Have a great night, Harrison.
All right. We'll talk soon. Folks, we'll be right back with the second hour of War Room Live. Don't go anywhere, folks. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link. We'll be right back.